And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, just covering down on some major ground across the Southeast U.S. of A. Y'all are talking about this show. This one, this show goes like from Huntsville back over to Chattanooga. I'm talking about from Tuscaloosa back over to Gadsden. I'm talking about all the way down to that loveliest little village on the plains we call Auburn, straight across the line from there to what we call, once again, Fort Benning. Benning! And then big old patches of North Georgia and Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. And that's just the radio. Oh, yeah. That's just the radio. And then, oh, by the way, there's all y'all out there in the whole wide world going to the World Wide Web, logging in and watching the live stream of the show, staring right into the studio with us on places like X and YouTube and Rumble and Facebook and our website, rightsidemedia.org. And then all you guys that are podcasters that catch it after the fact. I say all that all the time for the very sole reason of making sure you understand that wherever you catch this show, it means something to us. We can see it. We know you're there. You're the only reason why we do it. So thank you. Thank you very much. I got some more text messages I want to catch up on here real quick because y'all are some texting machines today. 833-687-4448. You got any over there first before I jump into mine? What you got?
We got a couple people on the live stream. Pat Jones saying hello from Decatur, Alabama.
Hello, Pat Jones.
Dennis says, as always, a great monologue. We also got John from Huntsville on there saying happy hump day. CGI Joe with some camel emojis for hump day. But then we also got the Drummond Marine you were talking about. First world problems, and there's a lot of other problems in the world that we don't have to deal with. Yeah. German Marine, he texted in and said, Phil, you remember Mosin water in Iraq, bottled water by the pallets?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. In fact, what was funny, there was one of the waters we got pallets of and pallets and pallets of, and it came from Saudi Arabia, I think, but it had a high mineral content in it, and it would give me heartburn. Hmm. I actually had somebody say, water gives you heartburn. I said, this one does.
Yeah, this one does, yeah.
But, yeah.
We got one more just come in. L.S. Revis said, Northwest Alabama here, too.
Outstanding. Glad you're in the house. Richard from Madison on my text line over here. He says, Colonel, I've been turning off the news because the political battles have been bringing me down. And then, lo and behold, I hear an inspiring message about appreciating the blessings that are in your life. Thank you for the break from politics and for sharing such a positive, uplifting message. Many are called, few are chosen. God bless you, sir. Richard, thank you for that. And I'll be honest with you. I told JP before the show today, that was my intent. That was absolutely my intent today. I even told the lovely Charlene this morning. I felt like today I needed to lighten things up a little bit as best I could. I think we needed that break. And in fact, I needed it. And I was looking forward to that monologue for that very reason. Jenny from Decatur sends me a meme. What'd she send? The meme says, suddenly it doesn't seem so shocking that the crowd would cheer for the release of Barabbas, a criminal and a murderer, while condemning Jesus, the man who peacefully spoke the truth. You know, I've thought about that. I've actually thought that same thing. That you wonder how a crowd could do that, and yet now we're watching real time?
Yeah. Well, somebody put up a tweet that said something about how I've seen all the reactions and to Charlie Kirk's death, and it's not shocking to me anymore that... Or he said, I realize this generation would have put Jesus on the cross. And then somebody reposted and goes, the real radical position is every generation would have put Jesus on the cross.
Wow.
Every single one.
Wow.
It's just humanity.
You know, the other biblical thing that I've thought more than once, I used to read like in the Old Testament when they would sacrifice children to Baal or to Molech. And I thought, what does it take to get to a point that you're sacrificing your children like that? You're like casting them into the fire or you know. And then in the last few years, especially with the whole transgender surgeries on minors and the idea that, you know, we should tell kids to they're only affirmed if they get different. I'm watching them being sacrificed on a regular basis. And I thought, ugh, yeah, I see it. I see it in real time. Stephen from Athens says, great monologue, Phil. You know, I once heard an appropriate quote. Far too many of us in the United States are possessed by our possessions. True. Said, I recently sold a house in Madison, and while moving, I realized that too many of us, including me, have too much stuff. Now I'm going to watch that movie again. Stephen, appreciate you, man. Thank you very much. Clint from Tony says, Phil, your monologue today reminded me of a few conversations I had with my father, who has gone on to his reward. He was a young boy during the Depression. Almost overnight, his family went from farming for a landowner to having to collect watercress and other wild produce, as well as hunting for food with a slingshot and a fishing spear. This was possible in North Georgia only because people were willing to take care of each other and watch out for one another. said, I feel if something like that happened in this day and age, it'd mean the extinction of most of the people in the U.S. simply because they would refuse to do what was needed to survive and forget about helping others. Wow, Clint. Man, there's a whole dipper in that right there. I could do a whole show on that. John from Huntsville said, Phil, fantastic monologue. Thank you, sir. He said, also, did you hear that Jerry from Ben & Jerry's Ice Cream has quit the business over a dispute relating to their ability to speak independently about social issues? I had not, but okay. He says, by the way, JP, your Falcons NFL team looks much improved.
Just wait. They'll be bad next week.
That's the most pessimistic, pragmatic view of a...
This is how you survive as a Falcons fan. You don't get your hopes up, even when you're in the Super Bowl up 28-3, because then they'll still lose.
I had a few years as an Auburn fan that way. I did. Of course, you guys had a few years, before your time, really, I guess, Bama fans.
Alabama football makes being a Falcons fan a little bit more tolerable.
Okay, I got to finish these up because y'all are great. John C. from Madison says, I think I drank a case and a half up to two cases in Saudi Arabia. I got tired of straight water. Yeah. And then Richard from Madison said, mission accomplished, sir. Thank you, brother. All right. Listen, every once in a while, ever so often, I'm resourcing the show and I find myself going, my gosh, at the wokeness. Did you see all the wokeness? How can we have that much wokeness? And then, like I like to say, holy cow, suddenly I realize I have developed an entire buffet, a veritable cornucopia, a vast plethora, if you will, of wokeness, which means it's time for another round of Adventures in Woke World.
Adventures in Woke World.
We ought to call this one Adventures in Lab-Grown Meat. Oh, jeez. Listen, you know what? I've got a pretty high gag reflex. Nothing bothers me for the most part. Every once in a while, something comes along, though, just makes me want to go, I just look at it and go, no, that is not meant to happen. We've talked about lab-grown meat on this show before, but I've got a brand spanking new story here. Came out just a little bit earlier this year. Oh, and there's a picture, and JP has got the live stream going. JP, that's exactly what I pictured when I pictured lab-grown meat. This flappy little pile of mucus on a plate. That's what that is. We should not be given something that looks like phlegm and be told to go ahead and expect to eat it. That is not the way this works. I'm just sorry.
That encapsulates gross. It perfectly, though.
That is, I don't even want to look at it. Okay, story from NBC. Scientists have grown a nugget-sized piece of chicken. No, they haven't. It's fake. Can't call it chicken. Might taste like chicken, but you can't call it chicken. Scientists have grown a nugget-sized piece of chicken using a new method that can... Okay, God, this is awful. Jeez. Can deliver nutrients and oxygen to artificial tissues, marking a major breakthrough in cultured meat. There's no culture in this one, I can tell you right. This is like uncouth. It's not cultured. Previous methods only made small scattered cell balls. Oh, God. They're making this... Hey, JP. How would you like your small, scattered cell balls?
Scrambled, please.
It says that they typically closely mimic the texture of muscle. Oh, my God. Tiny pieces clumped together around an edible scaffolding. What in God's name is an edible scaffolding? They put like a something in there and things begin to adhere to it, I guess. The edible scaffolding. Okay, the scientists developed a bioreactor that mimicked a circulatory system. Well, of course they did. Using 50 hollow fibers acting like veins, oh my God, to distribute nutrients and oxygen to the meat, keeping the cells alive and guiding them. This is how Frankenstein's, this is how the zombie apocalypse starts.
Isn't the lab-grown meat, the way it grows in a petri dish is like how cancer cells grow?
Yes.
It mimics cancer because it grows and grows and grows, and they couldn't assure that it would ever stop growing if you were to eat it.
Yes.
AKA cancer. Exactly cancer.
Exactly right. Consumers in the United States have mixed attitudes toward, you think? Yeah. Have mixed attitudes toward cultured meat. About a third say they're not even willing to try cultivated chicken. Good for them. 40% reject cultivated pork. Even better. According to a 2024 poll conducted by Purdue University. Singapore, the U.S., and Israel are the only three countries in the world that will currently allow. Of course we did. Why would we not? It's America. But you know what, though? There's two states that have banned it. Pray tell, what are they? Do you know?
I know one of them's Texas because they just did it recently. Did they not?
Nope. Florida and Alabama.
Huh.
If Texas had done it recently, it must be very recent. Maybe since this article. But my God.
It says Texas has banned the production of lab-grown meat starting September 1st, 2025.
There you go.
Yes. I knew
Don't
I saw it
mess
recently.
With Texas. All right. Yeah. So far, Texas, Alabama, and Florida are leading the pack on getting rid of the small scattered cell balls. Put that picture back up. Those of you watching the live stream. Oh, my God. I want you to look at that and tell me why that is something you would go to a restaurant and order. By the way, people do that. There's a restaurant right now in San Francisco. Well, of course. Yeah. In San Francisco that will serve cultivated meat.
So what's the appeal from, like, the climate change? I assume it's the same people, like the climate folks.
It's the wackos.
What's the appeal to having lab-grown meat?
I'll tell you what. They call it no-kill meat.
Oh, okay. But I thought cows and their flatulence caused global warming. So wouldn't they want to kill more like cows and animals to
limit the issues?
Oh, okay, sorry. I'm making too much sense.
I've got a piece that came out last month off of a Substack. This is like... In late June of this year, Upside and Good Meat, those are two companies that make the fake scattered cell balls, Upside and Good Meat got the official thumbs up from the United States Department of Agriculture to sell their cultured chicken products. Oh, my God. They use different terms like cell-based, cultivated, clean, slaughter-free, in vitro, lab-grown, and nano-pastured meat. Nano-pastured?
Nano-pastured.
Nano-pastured? Okay. Nano-pastured meat. Fantastic news, it says, for the cultivated meat industry and for the environment, given that livestock agriculture generates 15% of total greenhouse gas emissions. So I guess we're going to slaughter cows but not eat them, so then we can go ahead. Anyway, it goes on to talk about how many, you know, petri dishes it takes and how the USDA has apparently approved it. And then it says the cow, chicken, and pigs are being disrupted. This is awful. Listen, I don't know if I keep doing this article. It's wearing me out, man. The bottom line is this. In woke world, they think it's cool to grow something in a dish and eat it. And I'm going to tell you right now, ain't going to happen. Like I said earlier, I'm pretty sure that's how the zombie apocalypse starts. Just saying. Take me to we got a call? I'll get it real quick for the break. Let's do that. Tom with all the kids, lab-grown meat. What are you thinking, brother?
Hey, good day. So... you know me, I am a clearance shopper, and I was at Walmart, and I saw these packages of dehydrated chicken, or at least that's what I thought it was, dehydrated chicken. It said chicken all over the package in big letters.
Okay.
And it was like $3 for 3 pounds worth of dehydrated chicken. So I grabbed like 8 of these because we got the boys in the Trail Life, and we go backpacking, and, you know, dehydrated food's great for that. As I was walking towards the checkout counter, I started looking at it and realized in tiny print it was fake meat replaces chicken. I was like, oh, heck no. If it ain't meat, we ain't eating it.
Oh. Well, listen, by the way, I know you're a wholesale shopper because you got all the kids. But nonetheless, listen, your kids would not do well with packages of fake chicken. So thank you for saving them from the zombie apocalypse.
But the fact that they have to hide it too, right?
Yes.
The packaging was fooling at a glance. I thought it was chicken, and that's disgraceful that they have to do that.
It absolutely is. It's a bait and switch. And can you imagine though if you'd gotten all the way home with it? Then what? Wow. Hey, thanks, Tom. Appreciate you. Take care.
Gotta go
to a break. I gotta get my digestive system back in order now. Phil Williams. Right Side Radio. We are in the middle of adventures in woke world. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative. Just plain right. Just pulling pins on truth grenades, y'all. That's what we're doing. So I'm in adventures in woke world. Hit me a sound effect. Just go ahead and play it.
Adventures in woke world.
Bah, bah, bah. You know, by the way, I think that was our very first sound effect. I think that's the very first one.
It's a very nice one.
It's a good one.
Yeah, it's
that good. And Grand Council. Those are my two very first sound effects, and they are still with us these many years later.
They survived the test of time.
They did. So those of y'all that are in the military, new piece out from Red State. New Army regulations begins the process of unwinding Joe Biden's woke uniform styling. Oh, my gosh. So, yeah. Now, granted, I come from the Black Boot Army, right? I got in way back in the day when you still had to spit shine your boots. And we used to land. I'm going to tell you right now. You had certain BDUs you wore in garrison. And, man, they starched up. Boy, they starched up. Like, we called it breaking starch. It was what?
Or you pay people to paint over them.
That's a different story. That's a different story. That was a scam at airborne school. I don't want to talk about it. They took my money, but I passed inspection.
Well, that's all that matters.
Yeah. That really was all that mattered. But yeah, so this article from Red State points out that in 2021, Biden's army released a relaxed set of grooming standards, allowing other innovations such as hair highlights, exotic cuts in hair, nail polish for women, and a very amorphous hairstyle guide that field leaders found nearly impossible to interpret. And it also had things like, you know, ponytails and other stuff. And then, you know, women could wear their hair down to the middle of their shoulder blades. And all that is like gone. So what we're looking at is a return to what I would call good order and discipline. This is not designed to be the frat house. All right. The Army is not designed to be a place where people go to assert their individuality. You know what I'm saying? If you want your individuality, don't sign on the dotted line. The recruiter's lying to you. Okay. If you want to have purple hair and streaks and you want to wear big dangly earrings and you want to have, you know, bright nail polish, and you don't want to have to, you know, blouse your boots or anything else, I got news. It doesn't work like that. But that's what it was during the entire Biden era. Everything was going by the wayside. And those who had been in for a while were like, what is happening around us right now? Because once you begin to relax those standards, don't think for a second that doesn't have second and third order effects. You know, you get Joe Snuffy the ragbag who comes in off the street and he's got the first sense of discipline and order in his life he's ever had. And then somewhere along the way, he wants to have like his, I don't know, girlfriend's name tattooed on the side of his head and walk around proudly. No, that's not going to happen. Or he wants to grow a beard because he thinks it looks cool. I'm sorry. There are reasons why you can't grow a beard. Or he just wants to have long hair because when he's back on the block, he had long hair. And the mullet that he had back home would look really cool with his uniform. No. And, you know, Shaniqua, she wants to have the painted fingernails. And, you know, Josephine, she wants to have the dangly earrings. And then, you know, the guy whose name was Bob now wants to call himself Bobina, wants to wear a dress, and it doesn't work that way. So all I'm saying is Red State is pointing out that the new standards have been put into effect, and we are going back to what I would call the Army of old. Can I have some applause? Just because I want it. I don't care if anybody else applauds. It's me. I spit shine my jump boots. I crease my BDUs. This is the right way. In fact, this is the way. All right, we're taking more. I got a little bit more on this. We've got some adventures in woke world. Are you enjoying yourself? I am. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. Alabama and Tennessee, syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Welcome to hour number two. Hour number two on a hump day. We played the camel earlier on, and later in the show, we'll have the Grand Council with Jeff Poore and Dale Jackson. So join me with that one. In the meantime, right now, I got to finish up some stuff here with with Adventures in Woke World. So I got to get a few texts here because the lab-grown meat, it definitely drew some texts. And Scott from Somerville reminds us all that oysters look like phlegm. Yes, they do. And I don't eat them.
And I don't eat them either.
I don't eat them.
I had a friend growing up that would just kill oysters and would just order like 8 to 12 of them that the table just mow down, and I'm just sitting there watching. I'm like, how? That's just so,
when you slurp it out of the shell, yeah, like that, and it slides down like something you should have spit out, that's just not edible.
But here's the kind that like drink the oyster juice out of the shell.
Oh my gosh.
I'm like, I can't do that. That's gross.
So I've said it before on the show, but I'll say it again. I have a theory that God gets the biggest kick out of when we eat oysters or snails.
Yeah.
Like he literally like elbows an angel and goes, watch. He's about to eat one. Oh! Yeah. And then they crack up because it was never meant to be eaten.
Well, when we were in Europe, snails were on the menu at most of the places we went to.
Escargot.
Yeah. I read that and I was like, what is that? And my parents were like,
what's an escargot?
It's snail. So I was like, ugh. Gross.
John T. from Alabama says abortion is the same as sacrificing children. I would agree with that. Roughly Ann from Huntsville just says cell balls. Yes, that's exactly right. They call them cell balls. And they apparently adhere to a edible scaffolding. Yeah. Brent from Addison, Alabama wants to know, can it be fried? I suspect so, man. You can probably slap some gravy on it too, but it's still lab-grown meat. Tom with all the kids checking in again says, with regards to the uniform thing, says, I miss me some starch BDUs. He said, my roommate at Fort Drum had this stuff he painted and baked onto his boots. Only wore them for uniform inspections and parades. Yes, I've seen that stuff. Melinda from Decatur says, I hope the new grooming standards for the Army will also prohibit false eyelashes. Yes. Thank you. Herb from Gurley, Alabama says, the first thing they did to us in basic training was to cut our hair. I remember one recruit who had hair down to his waist. The military barber asked if he wanted to keep his hair, and he gleefully said yes. 10 seconds later, all of his hair was in his lap. Nice. John from Huntsville says, oysters on the half shell with a little hot sauce is one of my favorite foods of all time. John, I'm concerned for you. That's not good. And then John C. from Madison says, we used to call it leather luster. Yeah, I remember that stuff, leather luster. So here's one for you. We have an image we'll put up. Don't put it up yet. We have an image we'll put up in a minute. I got an article from the New York Post, came out last week. Adventures in Woke World. Have you ever heard of woke math? Woke math, like mathematics.
No, I have not.
I hadn't either. I thought it was going to say something like, you know, the whole new math thing where you have to work your way through all kinds of word problems to get to a 2 + 2 = 4. No. Woke math is exactly what it sounds like. It's where they inject social justice causes into math class. Why would you do this? I'll tell you why they do it. Because mathematics is usually a required course and they want their stuff in there somewhere. So they go to what's required and they just inject it, whether it matters, whether it helps you add numbers or not. So there's a philanthropist, her name is Liz Simons, and she's a big donor to Zohran Mamdani in the New York City mayor's race. She's a daughter of a hedge fund billionaire, Jim Simons, and she now oversees a nearly billion-dollar endowment, and she gives to the charitable causes of her choice, and one of her favorite is what they call race-obsessed leftist lessons inserting social justice principles into education. Woke math being her favorite. Mamdani himself wants to halt charter schools, expand universal pre-K, eliminate selective admissions for middle schools, yada, yada, yada. But this, like, why do you have racial justice in mathematics? They literally do things like she has given $800,000 to one organization to help organize seminars, toolkits, and support for teachers on racial justice math classes. She also gave $900,000 for teacher grants to promote racial justice through math. Put up that image if you got it, if you don't mind. There's an image right now that was with the article from New York Post. It has a picture of her and Mamdani, and it gives a problem. It says, the problem is a rectangular garden is 12 feet wide, 5 feet long. What's the area in the perimeter of the garden? Now, most of us in the world would look at that and go, well, 12 times 5, 60. 60 square feet of gardening space in your little square garden. No, the woke approach, can you read that out loud? I can't see it good from my screen.
The woke approach says, encourage students to dig deeper and ask questions like, who owns this land? And is it a community garden? And do all members have access to healthy, fresh food? Students might still calculate the area and perimeter, but the math lesson becomes a way to discuss food food sovereignty and environmental justice and racial inequalities.
Jeez, Pete.
Or racial inequities, I should say, sorry.
That is so womp, womp, womp. I mean, that is just absolutely, that's what woke does. What, you got a sound effect? There you go. That's actually woke math. That's what they call it. It's actually woke math. It's literally math, but they inject their social justice mantras into mathematics. Look, if the kids can't balance their checkbook, but they understand that there has white privilege, you still failed as a teacher. Just saying. And then there's the mouth of the South, James Carville. Here, that's what his nickname was.
Who is the Gollum? Remember we compared him to Gollum that one time?
He looks like Gollum.
Yeah.
Schmeagol.
Yeah.
It wants the precious. All right, so, but I will say this. He's been calling out his own party lately. I got an article that came out here about 2 weeks ago. James Carville blasting the Democratic National Committee for opening up its big event in Minneapolis. And one of the first things they did was they had a lady named Lindy Somick, treasurer of Minnesota's Democratic Farmer Labor Party, a self-described indigenous queer woman. Okay. You can tell where this is going to go.
Yep.
Adventures of Woke World. The indigenous queer woman, Lindy Somick, from the Democratic Farmer Labor Party, got up and the first thing she wanted to do was talk about a legacy of broken treaties and that in many ways we still live in a system built to suppress indigenous peoples and that we are holding this entire conference on former indigenous lands. And Carville just said, Carville's response was, "For God's sakes, lady." He went on to just rip it and said, "Lady, you're right. What we did to Native Americans has been well documented. It's a sad part of our history, but why are you bringing it up in an election?" He said, "This is an election. The DNC is not where you go to fix this stuff. The DNC does not exist to right wrongs. It just exists to win elections." And he says, "Please stop in the name of a just and merciful God." He said, "Don't you see what you're bringing us to? For God's sake, lady." And then he says, "And where's the DNC chairman? What's he doing? You got but one job, kid, to win."
Actually, apparently, he's talking about David Hogg. The DNC, he actually had his vote. He's no longer the DNC chair, remember? Because
he was vice chair.
Or the vice chair, yeah. Excuse me. Well, he got rescinded because of the voting process did not include enough people or something like that. It wasn't inclusive enough racially. It's like, that sums it up altogether.
I wonder if the indigenous queer women voted against him.
I wonder.
You take your white privilege and march yourself out of here.
Yeah.
You silly man. Don't you know I'm an indigenous queer woman? Okay. Last thing I got for you for the break. We'll wrap up Adventures of Woke World. There's apparently a movement now to try and get the left to please stop with the wokeness because they realize they've worn out their welcome. Sort of like James Carville, who just flat out says it, "For God's sakes, lady." But now we're sitting here 10 months after the 2024 elections, and there's an article on Politico. I hold it in my calloused former paratrooper hands. Politico. Phil, did you go to Politico? I did. I go to these places so you don't have to. Politico is now suggesting there's a list of about 45 words and phrases that Democrats should start avoiding. Like, stop using them. Like, please, burn these from your memory. Some of the words are things like privilege, dialoguing, triggering, microaggression. I'm just going to skip through here. Body shaming. Please stop talking about the body shaming. Subverting norms. Cultural appropriation, the existential threat to, name your flavor of the week.
Democracy.
Existential threats. That's one of them. Democracy, yeah. Economy, climate. Anyway, they suggest strongly they quit talking about radical transparency. They quit talking about food insecurity, housing insecurity. They stop labeling illegals as a person who immigrated. They stop talking about birthing persons and using the term cisgender. They stop talking about dead naming. And then heteronormative. What does heteronormative even mean? Do you have any idea? Heteronormative. What is that?
I have no idea.
Heteronormative. And they really strongly suggest they get away from things like BIPOC and incarcerated people and involuntary confinements. What does heteronormative mean?
Denoting or relating to a worldview that presents gender roles as fixed and heterosexuality as the normal or preferred sexual orientation.
Oh, my God. So basically, don't talk about real biology.
Yeah, don't talk about reality.
Yeah.
Hetero reality.
So Eric Erickson, who's a conservative talk show host based out of Atlanta, I believe, but Eric Erickson said, "The Democratic Party brand is toxic across the country at this point with way too many people, enough that there's no way for them to win with a governing majority without changing the way they're doing things." And he basically went on to say, stop with the woke words. But then what will we have to talk about on this show if they did, JP? I don't know.
I have no idea. We'd find something else.
And there you have it, Adventures in Woke World. I'll get some of your text messages when we come back from the break and keep moving forward. Coming up next, I'm going to kind of stay that same vein, but let's talk about what we're doing to punch back. How about some culture wars? Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.